Jess is out. I'm reacquainting myself with my favorite pair of leather pants from college. I'm laying down some new beats and smoking a big, fat, fabulous joint. Speaking of smoking, let's give the almighty weed some props for just a second here. Dearest weed, I want you to know I think you're fucking awesome. You're a mind-blowing miracle drug. There's no way I would have survived the whole mom having cancer and dying thing if it weren't for you. You were the one thing I could rely on to get me through that shitstorm. You always have a way of making me feel so much better, so happy, so alive. From the bottom of my heart, thank you. Love always, Devin. P.S. Time to get the fuck out of this apartment. Have a little fun of my own tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is an important message. Remain alert and have a safe day.
I get off the train and head up onto the sidewalk. The city's teeming with people. Beautiful people. And I look them all straight in the eye. I float into dusk. Bailey's spidey sense peaks, and he looks up from behind the bar. We lock eyes, his blonde, shaggy hair, tousled like a golden retriever. A bit scruffier than the last time I saw him, but still chiseled in that square-jawed, actorly way. I met Bailey through my college roommate freshman year. They dated a few times. Didn't last. But he and I became flirtatious friends. A surprisingly deep Don Juan-esque drug dealer from Texas, with a penchant for sex clubs and self-help books, and a seemingly endless supply of weed. He sidles over to me.
Hey, gorgeous. It's good to see you. Real sorry about your mama.
Thanks. I'm just so glad it's finally over. Well, not glad, exactly. He leans over for a kiss, plants one straight on my mouth. His lips are full, soft. A model gaunt waitress summons him from the other end of the bar.
Hello? Bailey, where's my vodka tonic?
He moseys off as the crowd starts multiplying. I perch up onto my stool and claim my space. Whip out my diary. Start writing. 4 minutes later, a chilled martini glass slides into view. My heart picks up its pace, the anticipation of libation.
The usual, I presume?
I lean down and take a sip off the top, pop an olive in my mouth, move my diary aside.
And your other request?
He tucks a first aid kit in my messenger bag, packed with prescription pills and an eighth of weed. Then he slides a beat-up paperback across the bar, When Things Fall Apart. And it strikes me as odd seeing this particular book right now, 'cause it's the same one my mom tried to get me to read when she got sick.
That shit right there is gonna blow your mind. And I ain't talking about the drugs.
Hello, Bailey.
He opens the book and points to a passage before scurrying off. When the ground shifts unexpectedly beneath us, we might feel stripped bare, naked, raw. But instead of closing to these moments, pushing them away or numbing ourselves in some way, perhaps we can choose to let go of our desire for stable ground and just sit with our fear. Perhaps we can accept that maybe stable ground is itself a mirage, and our craving for what's gone, what never really existed in the first place, is in actuality the very root of our pain. Another one of Bailey's Buddhist books, some enlightened author's analysis of the stages of transformation, metaphorical molting. I can see why Mom wanted me to read it. It's all very relevant. And there is some part of me that actually wants to understand what the hell it means. But I got no fucking clue how. I'm still in the middle of it all. so I toss the book aside, grab my diary. I'm about to start writing again when this short, middle-aged man in a red polo shirt stumbles his way up to the bar, plops down on the stool beside me, and orders a drink. I can see him staring at me out of the corner of my eye.
It was, like, so much nicer in here when it was quieter. But, hey, they gotta make money, right?
I keep my eyes down on my diary, make like I'm lost in thought.
Yeah, I guess. I used to enjoy coming here to write, sitting at the bar with two, maybe three people in the joint. Nobody ever talked to me. It used to be so peaceful, serene.
He doesn't take the hint. Just keeps talking.
What you writing about?
I take a deep breath, look up.
Ah, fuck if I know. Just a bunch of bullshit, really.
I try to get back to it, but he raises his glass.
To bullshit.
Then he downs his drink, eyes my diary again, cocks his head, squints.
You want to know what I think?
He leans over, right up close to my face, his breath reeking of cigarette smoke, stale cinnaburst, and whiskey.
I don't think you're writing about bullshit at all. Nope. I think you're writing about life.
He drops a crisp 20 on the bar. I kick back the rest of my drink. Then I turn to toss him a sardonic retort. Something about life being bullshit. Except he seems to have disappeared.
Now drink this, darling, and tell me how you're really doing.
I turn to see Bailey standing next to me, holding out a glass of water, and realize I'm suitably drunk enough to shallowly brief him on the general state of things, which I proceed to do, breezing through the mom dying details and quickly cutting to the news about me and Jess and our newly declared sexual freedom.
Are you sure you're up for this right now?
Fuck yeah. This is totally happening. I'm telling you, I'm a free bird. So take me by the wing.
Well, alrighty then. Welcome to the dark side, darling. You, me, some E, Starlight, next Sunday night, I'll invite Gemma.
The more the merrier.
I grab my wallet, start fumbling for my cash. He reaches out and puts his hand on mine.
It's on me, darling. And when you're ready to talk about your mama, I'm all ears. Well, not all ears.
He winks, a sly smirk on his face.
See you Sunday.